This is NRL Boom Rookies.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Boom Rookies presented by ESPN. My name is Matt Bungard, and with me today, Nick Campton. Hello.
Take me to the April sun in Camden.
Whoa. It is a very sunny day, both in your mind and externally after Canberra's incredible win last night. I mean, this show might have a substantially different tone had the dumbest boys alive thrown it away. But thankfully, despite scoring fewer tries than the opposition, they came away with the win.
The opposition was the Titans, mind you.
Who have not won a game since, I believe, the John Howard administration.
They haven't won a game since Herman Boone coached them to that state final.
No, of course.
Back in 76, yes.
Yeah,
sometimes you've just got to hope that your team is too weird to ever be killed.
Mm.
And this was one of those.
Yeah. We'll jump back. We'll talk about that game in full later on. But first, we have to go all the way back to Friday. Feels like a lifetime ago. Feels like we've grown since then. We've matured and learned so much about ourselves, the great game of rugby league, and dare I say, friendship. But the Melbourne Storm, 16. The Canterbury Bulldogs, 14. You did joke on the show, was it last week or the week before, where you're like, the Bulldogs seem to have a self-imposed limit on the number of times they can go left. And it was like, yeah, they started doing that in the second half and carved them to pieces.
Yeah, it was really good. Were there any nervous moments for you, given you Cole trained?
Oh, this wasn't like the Titans one the other way, where I was supremely confident the Cowboys were going to do it. I was genuinely a bit worried. Mm. I thought the Dogs had worked out the formula. Because, it really was as simple as, the Storm right side is kind of shit defensively. We have one of the best wingers in the comp and Bill Kickout. Let's do that. Let's go that way all the time.
Yeah, and it worked really well. Like, the Dogs look so much better when they change the point of attack as much as they can. It's something we've talked about a lot. And then when they were just spreading it to that left-hand side, they were looking fantastic. Like, Kickout was matching up on Meany really well. You know, there's not a lot of defenders in the league that can handle Viliami Kickout when he's winding up, but Meany's been a fullback nearly his entire career. Transitioning to defending in the front line is really, really hard. And Kickout just gave him a devil of a time. And I thought Bronson Sherry was really, really strong as well. Mm. They've clearly got something in putting Kickout, Sherry, Addo Carr all together. And I thought Burton did a really good job getting them all started. Like, that pass out to Addo Carr for his
second,
I think it
try.
was
second,
it was
or
either
third.
It was either his first, second, or third try. It was definitely
it was
for
a
one
great
of them.
Ball though.
Great ball, and that came from him. The two halves connecting together. He got it off Hutchinson, who was at first receiver, and it was all sorts of stuff that I really, really like to see from Canterbury. And it was good to see them show a little bit of resilience because Melbourne got those two early tries. The Pappenhausen one was pretty soft, but then the Smith one was kind of like, how do you kind of defend against
that? That was a Raiders try, if ever there was one.
It really was, and it would be very easy for Canterbury then to drop their heads and have Melbourne cut them to pieces for the rest of the half, but they didn't do that. They stayed on the job and really put in, which was good to see. It's a funny one. I was talking to Pup about this game, and he said the Roosters game was a win that felt like a loss, and this game was a loss that almost felt like a win, you know?
Yeah, so, like, they start the game. Like, Jake Turbin drops the ball in the first set.
God.
And then the chance goes for the Storm, and then Curran allows himself to get stripped by Patterson, and it's like, you've had the ball for 8 seconds in this game combined and committed two errors. And you thought, yeah, this is going to be a very, very ugly game. They seemed insistent almost on making Stephen Crichton the focal point of the attack in the first half. Like, basically everything went through him. He was kicking quite a lot as well. I didn't really understand why. And then, of course, as we just discussed, when they switched back to just spreading it left, that seemed to really unlock things for them. And it was weird because, yeah, Melbourne had so much territory and looked so dominant in the first 20 minutes of this game. And I know they lost to Ika Mekavika quite early, right? But other than that, like, I mean, you didn't look at that Bulldogs middle rotation and think that they'd have any chance of being able to match it with the Storm. But when you just, when you are, as you said, changing the point of attack as much as you can and spreading the ball as much as you can, you don't really need to win that battle. It's not a tried and tested path to victory in the NRL. We don't really see, you know, commentators talk about having to earn the right to spread it wide, but the Bulldogs have decided that earning shit's for losers. And they're just going to spread it whenever they feel like it. And
sometimes you do have to earn the right, but sometimes that can just be one good carry. Mm. It doesn't have to be four or five sets up the middle of the field. If it's just one good carry that creates a little bit of space and you get it to your first receiver and they go to the line well, at the very least, it can open up the set, or it can open up the entire side of the field for you. But Connor Tracy was really good for the Bulldogs at the back. Super, super busy. I think he was good enough to maybe hold the jersey, even if Blake Taft's fit again. While I thought Melbourne probably weren't direct enough in their attack in that first half, they were sort of playing with their food a little bit. Canterbury scramble was really good, but I was really impressed with the physicality that Melbourne played with. And it was coming from blokes that you wouldn't necessarily expect. Like Xavier Coates put on multiple big shots. He was playing really, really tough. Like he has a couple of times this season. So that's very, very impressive for him. And I thought Canterbury were going to get away with this one. Until the Sean Bloor try, which we're proud to announce.
Give me the f***ing ball.
Give me the f***ing ball.
Chahu, indeed.
A worthy winner.
Absolutely. I saw a couple of people saying that this was a really, really soft try. I don't think it was. Go back and look at it again. Look how deep Bloor is when he comes onto the ball. Like the wind-up he has, he is sprinting full pelt. Like, he is really, really going hard at that gap in between the defenders. It's a really, really nice line. And I was glad for him to have a big moment like that, because I actually think he's been really good for the Storm through a couple of weeks. You guys know I'm a big fan of his. I've sung his praises on the pod plenty of times before. But he's just doing a lot of little things really well. He's running really good lines and he's running them every time. If you do that in the Melbourne system, you're going to be really effective. He's defending really well. He's got an offload in him. By the end of the season, I think he'll be in the buy the year conversation. I really, really do. I always expect a lot from him because I think he's really talented, but he's meeting those expectations thus far.
Yeah, really good, really strong, powerful effort. I thought they'd thrown this game away, especially when they had made that break down the left and Coates kicked the ball. And you just thought, mate, just... either try and find Pappenhausen, who I think was screaming up on the right, or just get tackled. Like they had tackles. That was a bizarre play to make. But then, yeah, Sean Bloor bails them out. And what was the stat about there? It had been how many years since they'd lost a game they were winning at halftime at home? I think they said like 10 or something.
No, the last time it happened, they played the Raiders there in 19, is when the Raiders came back from 18-0. Yeah, okay. So that was the last time.
That's not that impressive.
But I welcome the idea of a crazy madcap Melbourne Storm team who only win games at the last possible second.
They've had it too easy for too long, their fans. They need some drama in their lives.
100%. They need to be punished by the Lord, I am nearly every week.
You were certainly, you went through the stages of grief last night. Oh boy. I mean, what's going on with the Storm? Because they're near the top of the table, despite looking thoroughly unimpressive every single week. I just don't understand them.
I think they've got points in them, and when they really, really have to, they can score. You know, I know I've talked a lot about their attacking structures, but the fact that they hold up so well under pressure and under fatigue, tells me that this team could potentially have a really high ceiling, but I think their floor is probably a little bit lower than some Melbourne teams of the past. And that probably happens when you've got a team that's got a bit more attacking verve to it, but maybe not as much solid fundamentals. So it's a little bit of a different Melbourne Storm team than we've come to know. But they're entertaining, and yeah, that's what counts for me. So more of
that's
it.
True. Every Storm game has been compelling viewing, and we'll talk about the Thursday game at the end of the show. But yeah, I don't even know what to make of Rooster Storm this week. Two teams that have really been hard to get a read on so far this year. But anyway, moving on. WrestleMania 3, the Broncos did it again. The Finns got a couple of late tries to make the scoreline respectable, but this was a pretty clinical showing from the Broncos after what was a nervy first half an hour. They really came into their own at that point.
Yeah, I thought in the first half, Brisbane were just a bit too eager, you know, and that this team can have that in them sometimes. Like, they want to strike and score and excel, and they want it so goddamn bad that sometimes it bubbles over and they sort of, you know, push a pass that isn't on, or they're not paying attention when they make an error or something like that. But invariably they'll end up finding their way. They'll end up calming down. And I think they did a really good job of that in the second half. The Dolphins were hanging in there in the first half, but they just really didn't have the potency to strike at Brisbane. And Brisbane's defense was really, really strong. Thought the scramble was really good. Once the Dolphins lost Tabuai Fidow, they kind of didn't have a whole lot to offer in attack. You know, Jared Wallace gets that try, but that's off a kick and an error and an offload and all that sort of thing. Like he made a play, but the Dolphins structures weren't quite there. But there was some really impressive stuff from Brisbane considering the guys they've got out. I thought Ezra Mann was terrific at 5'8". I thought he took a bit more of an organizing role while still retaining his good attacking stuff. I thought it was a really mature performance from him. And it was interesting when Reynolds got injured, somebody on the TV coverage said that Mann one day wants to move to halfback. And I was like, I don't know if he's quite got the skill set to move there. And I love him so much at 5'8". But I was very, very impressed by this one. It was really, really composed. And that pass he threw to Oates was just fantastic. So I love it when playmakers are right at the line like that and throw a nice, well-timed cutout pass. Really, really good stuff.
Yeah, I thought Cobbo was sensational as well. And in terms of forward, like Carrigan, we said enough about Carrigan at this point. Like, what a player. And leading from the front again. But Xavier Willison, up there with him in this one.
He's a beast, man.
They've just got so many fucking hosses up there, don't they? Like, what are they gonna do after if Haas or Carrigan aren't playing? And now you got X and you got Takura last week and just all these big giant dudes who look fantastic.
We've talked about it a lot about finding the person who can sort of replace Flegler's role in the team, and it was always going to be a process of sort of figuring out what they've got and who they've got and what those guys can all do. But I think they've got it now. I think Willison is the one. You know, he probably doesn't play as aggressively as Flegler, but he's big and he's mobile and he's strong and he runs the ball really well and he makes a lot of really good second efforts as well. He's very light on his feet for such a big man. And since we saw him in that All-Star game, it was kind of like a sit up and take notice performance, and it took an injury or two to get him in the side, but I think he's in the team for the rest of the year at this point. I was very, very impressed.
Broncos fans wanted him in the give me the ball conversation. I was like, mate,
he ran over Cody Nikurima.
They just kind of forgot to tackle it.
Yeah, not really true to the spirit of the award, running over someone who's legitimately half your size, you know?
Yeah. Poor Cody. He tried his best.
He did. But him getting stomped like that is kind of a encapsulation of the problem the Dolphins.
Where were the other players?
Well, that, but
because
also
it wasn't like Willison came steaming onto that ball either. He was kind of almost stationary, and then he went, "Oh, I've got Cody Nikurima 1-on-1 on the try line. I'll score a try."
That's physics, brother.
Yeah,
the unstoppable force versus a movable object.
Did Carrigan lend him one of his books?
I'd hope so. I'd hope he's tutoring
just
them all. Like
physics.
Yeah, you know that Oppenheimer originally was going to star Pat Carrigan.
Yeah, he just couldn't do it. He was too committed to the rugby league.
That's right.
Couldn't pull himself away.
Yeah, but the Dolphins, they're going to have a tough period coming up. Like, you could make the case that their four best players are now all sidelined. Gilbert's out for the year. Farnworth's gone. Fleckler's gone, and Tabuai Fidow's gone as well.
How long has Hammer gone for?
I think 3 to 6. NRL physio was saying. Apparently the injury is in the fleshy part of the hamstring, which is a disgusting sentence, but apparently a good sign because it means a lot of blood can get there. So
that's good.
But their depth is better than last year, but it's still not great. They're still a bit top heavy. And while I think Wayne Bennett would be pleased that they didn't just lay over, that they sort of fought back and got a couple of tries. The Asako try was fantastic. Like,
yeah,
it didn't matter. The game was over. It was still really cool. But yeah, they're really going to have to dig deep for a couple of weeks. And I think Brisbane, in contrast, are going to start getting guys back pretty soon. I have not heard anything about this. I think there's a chance Haas pushes to play this week. And I think Reynolds will be back in a couple of weeks after that. So all of a sudden, Brisbane have sort of weathered this storm, weathered this tough period, banked a few wins, and then
everyone's
back and...
Well, as
2006.
As we've discussed before, the Tigers fans have this complex that every injured player returns against them, and it's Tigers Broncos in 2 weeks' time. So it'd be very funny if they get Haas and Reynolds back for that one.
Yep.
I thought just small positive for the Dolphins. I thought Jack Bostock was very good. I think he's one for the future. I think
at the end of the season, we'll look back on him as a really big improver.
Yeah, absolutely. Not much else to love. Anthony Milford playing an hour of rugby league in 2024 is, you know,
it's tough. And that shot that he put on Walsh, that was not on. It was real. That was a cheap shot. I thought
they got the ball. Like, they kept the ball, right? Because it was now twice in the space of two nights. We had, oh yeah, it's okay to hit Lindsay Collins in the head because he dropped the ball first, and then it's, oh, it's okay to like just fucking shoulder charge Reece Walsh out of his shoes because they were inside 10 meters. Like,
in
what?
In the words of Braith and Esther, you're off your head.
Hmm.
Yeah, crazy. But like that, it wasn't. I had no idea what Milford was thinking because it wasn't like he got deceived in it or anything like that either. He just sort of came across and cracked him, and yeah, didn't like it. I really don't like what he's become.
It's quite sad. Let's move on. There were no winners at Go Media Stadium except for the rugby league public, who were treated to a thrilling finish between the New Zealand Warriors and the Manly Warringah Seals. Because of what was going on in Sydney on Saturday afternoon, I actually, with about 10 minutes to go, turned this off to put the news on because of like, cause, you know, there was a really serious situation that was developing. I was like, this game's over. And then like, I'm still just checking like the Discord while we were, and then I was like, oh shit. And so I had to quickly switch back on. And then just in time to see Josh Alloye snap Sean Johnson's leg in half.
Let's start with that. Cause that was a talking point out of this game, a controversial one. I have no idea why. I thought it was a textbook penalty.
In what world is literally the exact penalty that happened on Good Friday that Jerry Sutton had to go into witness protection for back in 2015. Yeah. Like, it's literally the exact same thing.
And those Dogs fans found him.
They did.
They got into the WitPro database.
Did you see someone pegged a vape at him on Thursday night?
Really?
Yeah.
Bro, don't throw things. Don't be out here doing that.
How? Like, it's quite funny. Like, you can't even go to the bar. Like, if you buy a can of anything at the bar at one of the footy grounds, they open it for you, which I always hate because they're so much harder to carry if you've got like four or five of them. But like, you can just walk in with a vape, apparently. But yeah, NRL investigating after vape hurled at referees Thursday night.
Well, that's crook. I don't like that. But yeah, this to me was textbook. You can't hit the legs of the kicker as while they're in the motion of kicking. Like, there was a bit, it reminded me a little bit of, remember when the Storm played the Warriors and Pezzett went for a big Hail Mary field goal and Barnett came out and charged it down.
Yes.
And they got six again and ended up scoring from it.
And they scored the.
Sean Johnson probably wasn't going to go from 40 out in the wet like that, but it's the same as the Barnett thing. You can't ask guys to put pressure on and train them to do that under fatigue and then expect them to sort of make that sort of clear clarity, have that clarity of decision making.
Yeah. No,
overriding instinct in that moment. But yeah, I thought it was a textbook penalty, 100 times out of 100. And the Cowboys and Eels game had a very, very similar one. You know, like, I have no idea why people were complaining about it.
Well, mate, people just love to complain, don't they?
They sure do.
Yeah, but a really strong performance from Manly right up until the end. I think Cherry Evans, once again, is just having, like, I think if we had to pick out like a sort of player of the year so far, I think he would be my pick. He's not going to win the Dally M because the system as it is does not allow for a team with two good players on it to win the Dally M.
Do you know who is the current leader of the current co-leaders of the Dally M? You'll guess one, you won't guess the other.
I'm going to guess one of them is Nicho Hynes and Caelan Ponga.
Caelan Ponga is one.
And it's not Nicho Hynes?
No.
It's not Jacob Carras again, is it?
No.
Okay. Is it Jamal Fogarty?
It's Viliami Kikau.
Okay. So we've got a Bulldog and great. All right, fan, awesome. To be fair, he's been really good.
He has.
But, okay. Oh, he man, I kind of like, want
he
that.
He hasn't been
no,
that
no.
good.
I want this now. Viliami Kikau, Dally M winner. It would be very funny.
The second rower on a team running 14-3.
Yeah. But, mate, did you see that pass he threw? Forget about it.
Pretty nice. Yeah. It draws a funny things because I think occasionally you can have a draw and one team feels like they won the draw and another team feels like they lost the draw. You know what I mean? Like one team is filthy that they didn't win and the other team is like, geez, we really hung on there. Like we've earned this. I think Manly will be much more pleased with the draw result than the Warriors because I felt like for the last 25 minutes of regular time and for all of extra time, Manly were just hanging in, trying to gut it out. And the Warriors just couldn't finish him off. And Manly showed a real toughness to them, which they also had against Penrith. So I feel like even though both sides get a point, I think Manly's point is more valuable, if you know what I'm saying.
It is, but like they're the ones that threw this game away. They should have won this. They should have won this football game comfortably. They had it wrapped up. They had it sewn away in their pocket and they blew it, Nick. They blew it. It was, yeah, I thought a really good performance from them for the most part. The Warriors a little bit flat, but that's okay. I mean, you can't be up for it every week. They came through a war against South Sydney last week that must have taken so much out of them. And yeah, I think Manly's season has been like, because we've had the last couple of years where Manly have started the season really well and then gone off a cliff quite quickly. Like yeah. That's happened a couple of years in a row. And then after rounds, three and four of this year, we thought that was going to happen again. And then instead what's happened is they put together a really good performance against Penrith. And then they go over to Auckland, sold out crowd away against the Warriors. And, you know, they get 1 point. They probably should have got two. And yeah, I thought they played quite well. I think that Ben Tavoyevich injury really hurt them a lot. I think that's when the Warriors were able to start spreading the ball around a little bit more. Like, I love Carl Lawton, but I don't know if he's an NRL center.
You love Carl Lawton?
Very handsome.
But, he's not as handsome as his brother, Kane.
Does he have a brother? Does he actually?
Yeah, former Titans hooker, Kane Lawton.
Okay.
He's like an Instagram person now.
On a scale of 1 to Nick Youngquest, what's his ratio of rugby league ability to handsomeness?
I always thought he was a better player than he got credit for. He was super fit dummy half and he just didn't get much of a run.
Oh, wow. Kane Lawton, he's a very handsome man.
Handsome devil. Kane.
Yeah. All right. But I
thought Manly's attack was really well constructed in this one. If you go look at some of those tries in the first half, they were really blowing up that Warriors right edge. They were catching Kurt Capewell at marker a lot. And a lot of the time he would just sort of wander in field and would be defending in the middle. And then all of a sudden, Fanua Blake or someone has to slide out. You've got a big man on the edge. They can go after that. Go back and look at the second DCE try and the Tommy Taliau try. Both times that they're able to create the edge collapses because Capewell's not there. You know, Capewell's in the middle of the field or Capewell's at marker or something like that. And I think that was something that Manly identified and they really, really went after. So that was really good for them. It was the same pattern for the Ben Trbojevic try just on the other side of the field. They caught Jackson Ford at marker. And I thought your guy, Toff Sipley, was fantastic off the bench. Again, he's making a difference every time he comes on this season. He's really changing the momentum of games. And he's done that in conjunction with Nathan Brown, but Brown wasn't in this game. His bench partner was Aaron Woods. So not as powerful a runner as Brownie. But yeah, Sipley, really, really impressive. I thought he was really strong.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously he missed the first couple of games. I think came back round four and has really been putting together a nice season since then. And yeah, I think Manly do genuinely have something here. I think we've got enough games under the belt now that we can go, there's something here, that this team is a legitimate contender this year.
Everything that's happened to them since they became team of the pod has been positive. Or should I say positive?
Got him. Got him. Yeah, it has. Absolutely. And so the extra time period was kind of just a bit of a mess, wasn't it? But although in the same way, like I did think that especially a couple of times when Manly got to like just over halfway, cherry off to put up a bomb rather than try to hit a field goal from halfway.
That's more what I was getting at earlier. Like they just sort of battened down the hatches and were like, we'll just try and ride this out and see where it takes us, because they were on fumes for the last probably 10, 15 minutes of regular time, you know. But, you know, showed great fight to stay in it. I talked a lot about their wingers in the lead up, Paulo and Taliau. I still think that's a place that most teams will think they'll be able to get at every week, but the two of them were quite good with their defensive reads. They were racing in, timing their sort of defensive charges really, really strongly. I think the only time one of them got it badly wrong was on that very last Watene Zalesniak try, and that's Sean Johnson throwing a cut-out offload. So, like, if he can make that pass, you kind of just have to give it to him. But, they're going good. They're getting a lot out of players who I didn't expect much out of, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Parramatta 27, Cowboys 20. A pretty entertaining game. You're a big Dejan Arce guy, and I thought he was pretty good in this game.
I do too. I was surprised. I saw a lot of Eels fans on Twitter and our friends at the Cumberland Throw as well. They were like, oh, no, Arce's coming in. Like, maybe reserve grade one for the first time this season. They're like, maybe they won because Arce wasn't there. Like,
wow. Jesus.
Yeah. I had no idea that folks were so low on him, but I thought he made a big difference just because he's got a bit of a kicking game. He can put up a bomb, and it just sort of gave their attack a little bit more variety and it gave their kicking game a bit more variety. So it just made it easier for them to go through the process of it. But I got to tell you, I think the big story out of this game is the Cowboys. Like, I'm willing to say it. The Titans are no longer the chaos team. The Cowboys are rugby league's chaos team.
Wow.
Like they I'm starting to think that 2022 isn't going to happen again. And for the foreseeable future, they're just going to be this team of freewheeling maniacs who can score an incredible try like the Scott Drinkwater one, but who can also just
let Joe Ofangwe walk through the front door.
Make basic errors all the time. You know, they can do the hard stuff, but they can't do the easy stuff. And that's the hallmark of a true like rugby league weirdsmobile, you know?
I think I'm with you. This is they're a team that like in years past I've struggled to get a read on, but I feel like I've had a pretty good read on them this year. I think I tipped against them in this game. I've cultured them successfully twice in other games. I think I've tipped them apart from the Broncos game. I think I've picked them correctly in every game they've played this year because they just are like they are what they are. They're this team that are capable of scoring amazing tries and doing things on a rugby league field that pretty much no other team can do. But they, you know, we talked about earning the right before. They've got no interest in earning the right. They're happy to let soft tries happen to them every week. They're happy to allow games to get away from them in winnable situations like this one was. And I don't really know how you fix that with the composition of their team right now. What do you think?
I don't think it can be fixed. I think it's just too baked into their own strengths almost. Their middles already aren't great, aside from Cotter right now. But when their bench is on and it's like McIntyre, Granville, and Gashevsky, there's just no punch there whatsoever. And that plays into the theme. It's everything or nothing all the time. When their starters are out there, like their forwards are at least capable. When it's the bench, it's just not enough. There's just not enough punch, you know? And that's when I think Parra were able to find some real joy. The Cowboys, in another world, probably could have been up 24-0 after as many minutes in this one. They had a lot of chances and they kept blowing them through preventable stuff. Like Nanai runs a bad angle on that first Kyle Felt no try. Like, just little things like that. Like the attention to detail just isn't quite there, you know? So, yeah, what an infuriating football team.
Yeah, they really are. But Parramatta, I thought, were better. And I think this is a really important win for them coming off last week's sort of capitulation down in Canberra. And there's still a couple of weeks for getting Mitch Moses back, right? Like, there's still...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're...
Go on.
I was going to say, there are still a few weeks away from getting him back, right? So, I think getting those combinations right, like they did in this game, I think is really important. Blaise Talangi could be anything. Like, we don't know really much about him yet, but they just had a bit more organization in this game with a established first grade playmaker in RC. Whether you think he's good or not, I mean, he is a first grader. And I think just having that organizational, as you said, the kicking game really did help and it made a world of difference for them. Yeah.
Just having a guy who just knows the ins and outs of the NRL a little bit better than a 19-year-old rookie could. I don't know if Parra were great in this, but they were much steadier than the Cowboys. You know, they were much steadier and they were willing to sort of hang in there and fight for it. And I know a lot of people don't like Clint Gutherson, but I thought this was a really good game from him in terms of his leadership. I think you could tell that after last week and after the loss to the Tigers the week before as well, Parra really needed something. They really needed an injection of energy, and that's one of Gutherson's real strengths. And sometimes he would do that in ways that would, to the outside, seem obnoxious. Like there was a knock-on in the in-goal that got changed from a dropout to a 20-meter tap, and Gutherson started going crazy like they just won the game. And you see it on TV, and you're like, God, man, what is he doing? But if your team is ailing and they're not going great, and they need someone to sort of lift them, that like little things like that can really go a long way, you know. And he was really busy around the ruck like he always is. And, you know, I know he's much maligned, but I thought this was a real showcase of the strengths of his game. So good on him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm mildly angry at Joe Ofangwe for not passing to a wide open Regan Campbell-Gillard, who was screaming up in support next to him.
Thanks, Joe. Try. Appreciate it.
Your old buddy. He's part of Camp Campton.
He 100% is. Ofangwe is actually an alias. He's actually Cousin Joe.
Yeah, Cousin Joe. All right. Moving on. South Sydney 22, Cronulla 34. I hate that we're
interesting,
already in.
Interesting move going with the losers first on the scoreline.
I just read it from left to right.
Sure, mate.
I did. All right. Anyway. Yeah, look.
How you feeling?
I'm fine. We're already in they tried hard territory, and it's round 7. Great. Fantastic. 6, yeah. Whatever. They did try hard, though, didn't they? Oh, they tried so hard. Fantastic. No, they were better in this game, I thought. But, you know, didn't win, so fuck it. Who cares? No. But, like, this was easily Dean Hawkins' best game, I thought. Tom Burgess.
Footy Dean. We finally saw Footy Dean.
Finally saw a bit of footy. Good. Yeah. Tom Burgess was great. I cannot have Tane Milne in this football team anymore. I love crazy Tane, but my God, like, just, I can't do it. The roller coaster he takes you on in every single game. And Tyrone Munro going off injured means that Milne's probably sticking around a bit longer, even when.
Bro, they don't call him Sane Tane.
That's true. I want him as a bench forward. Get him in there. Creating havoc. Plays lock for Fiji, why not?
Maybe too much havoc.
Maybe. Anyway, started okay and then got back into the game late doors and, you know, got within a try at the end and then some stuff happened. Didn't win. But they played okay. I thought both teams played pretty well in this game, to be honest with you. And, you know, one team has to win, one team has to lose. Cronulla won. I don't think this was winning would have been nice, but given the circumstances, given no Latrell, Cam Murray gets knocked out halfway through the game. You lose your fullback for 15 minutes for HIA. I think given all of those circumstances and the stuff that's going on off the field, I think, you know, you can't be too upset with this performance.
Well, speaking of what's going on off the field, do you want Jason Demetriou to stay as coach after this performance? Because I thought, even though they didn't win, I thought it was clear that the team was responding. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was probably a measure of them wanting to play hard for him, that someone like Tom Burgess, one of the veteran players, that he really went hard for it, you know? And while there was some lapses that would have just been infuriating, like Jack Whiten when he's playing fullback, just racing up at the A defender for no reason, and Trindle just kicking over the top, and Mulatalo scores a very easy drive. There was stuff like that, but there was a lot more effort, I thought, than there had been in the last few weeks. I think it was the first time in a while that you could say, yeah, they really left it all on the field.
Yep.
You know, so agree. With that in mind, do you want him to stay?
Well, last week you asked me, do I think that he's going to keep his job? And I said no.
Mm.
But now you ask me, do I want him to? And the answer is, and now I think the answer to both the original question and the new question is yes, because I don't think he's going anywhere. I think they are going to stick with him. I think the Mal stuff turned out to be a lot of nonsense from stuff that has been, you know, from the fallout that we've had since, what day was that last week? Wednesday?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think that all turned out to be not really true. And yeah, I agree with you, mate. They responded as best they could in this game. I think they are still down on troops, and the Sharks are a good football team, but they could have won this game if not for some really basic mistakes. And that's what's so infuriating still. It's like, and it's funny because they tried hard in this game, but like I did think at times, like, dry grays look good, but geez, we missed Trell's ball playing on the line. This was the first game in the whole year where they'd actually had like a few good ball sets. Like, really, that's been the main issue, is not being able to, like, sustain attack for any period of time. But I thought there was a few times this game would have been like, geez, it would have been nice to have a trail for this shape or something like that. But won't have him for a couple more weeks either. So just got to deal with it. Dry Gray, I thought, played well.
He's a real spark plug, isn't he?
Excited to see more of him in the future. I don't know what they're going to do in terms of the back line. I think they're just carrying too many bad players. I don't think Isaiah Tass has ever really kicked on since his first year. And crazy Tane, you know. The less said, the better. So it'll be interesting to see what the makeup of this back five is when everyone's back, when AJ's back, when Campbell's back, and now if Tyrone Munro. I don't know what's the scuttlebutt on him for this game.
It was another collarbone. Okay.
Well, that was it. Well, that was what kept him out in the preseason. So he might have just re-aggravated the same injury. But yeah, sucks. A lot of injuries in this game. Multiple Sharks should have been jailed first for attacking Jai Gray's head and then the head of Cameron Murray. Like, how dare you? You shouldn't be able to hit Cameron Murray in the face.
Can't believe you turned on your beloved Sharks. Well, it's not very up of you, mate.
No, well, they went too far up on the body. hit him in the midsection, mate. Not the head. What are we doing here?
Well, yeah. It's not down Cronulla. Like, what are you expecting to do?
That was like a loser Dragons fan, never written like a fake song called Down Cronulla or something.
Yeah, was a Dragons fan. We'll get.
If you're listening. But yeah, on the Cronulla side, this again, that no one's better at killing you on the edges than Cronulla. And when they identified that, especially as the game wore on and, you know, those weaknesses became apparent, they just killed them on both sides, didn't they? Oh man, it's just a shame.
Well, I thought Mulatalo was fantastic.
He was great. He was awesome.
I I love the way, I really love the way he plays. I love, like, he's so impactful across the park, but I love the sort of emotion and the heart that he plays with. And it's something that he's always going to have to sort of battle to keep under control, because it's very easy for it to spill over and him to do some crazy stuff, which is why I love him. But when he gets it right, when everything's channeled the way it's meant to be, I got to tell you, I don't think there's many better wingers in the whole sport. You know, like,
he's quite good.
He's great in yardage. He's a terrific finisher. He's really good in the air. He's very skillful for a winger as well. So I thought he was fantastic. It was good to see Tricky Trindle get some nice touches in. I think anything that Cronulla can do to sort of empower the rest of the spine other than Hines creatively is a really good thing. Kenny didn't quite have the breakout game that I was sort of looking for. But I do like that I think they're going to stick with Kyle Iro at center. And I think Talakai is going to come off the bench permanently. And I think that's a good move. Iro's impressed me. He's very tough. He's very rugged, but still got sort of some of that attacking spark to him. And Talakai in the middle just gives them a bit more athleticism. It gives them a bit more flexibility on their bench as well. So it'd be a big call moving Talakai out from the centers. And Fitzgibbon was saying that over the first few weeks of the competition, he thought Talakai was one of their best players, but I think it's a better move for the team. So I'd be interested to see if they kept that going for another couple of weeks.
Yep. Souths have a bye now, so if they're not going to make a coach, if they're making a coach change, I feel like it would have already happened. I feel like.
Well, if it doesn't happen today, then
it'll happen. What time is it now? 10:15. If we finish recording at like 10:30, it's going to happen at 10:45.
Yeah, yeah. So if it can survive the Boom Rookies recording curse, then I don't think it'll happen.
Now that's a real curse.
100%.
Okay, Campbelltown Stadium. West Tigers 12, Dragons 24. See, I read it left to right again.
I can't help but think you did it knowingly that time. But I think that's the natural way.
I promise you I didn't. Anyway.
Sure.
You never. Okay. Campbelltown Stadium was good to be back. Hated that giant Channel 9 tent in the middle of the hill.
Yeah, that's
thinking. And then they did the fucking show from the sideline anyway. So it was like, why is this here? Man.
Yeah,
people
not
didn't
great.
See on the broadcast, like, what, a third of the hill maybe had their view obscured by a giant Channel 9 marquee that was like set up for them to do their broadcast from there, like on the hill itself. So basically it rendered all the space behind it and all the space to the left of it like shit, basically.
Yeah.
And when the game's sold out, maybe don't take up a quarter of your hill with a giant tent.
First sellout at Campbelltown since 05.
It's 05, yeah.
How good. Crazy. How good. If you're someone like me who loves going to games at Campbelltown but has no dog in the fight at all, it did not matter to me if West won or Saints won. It's perfect. Perfect. I just got to walk around, shake hands, slap backs, sink beers. Felt like I was the mayor for a second there. I saw everyone I've ever met in my life. It was great. But you know what wasn't great? The performance of the West Tigers.
Yes. I got a message from friend of the show, Shane, this morning, who wants two players fired into the sun. And they are.
I'm going to guess one of them's Bud Sullivan.
He was the first name on the list, and the other one was Fatale.
Yeah, look, I think it might be hard because they've got a few injuries at the minute. I think they only had 17 fit players for this game, but I think they are going to have to make some changes. Bud Sullivan I've found him to be quite underwhelming this year, and I've been a bit disappointed in that because he was a guy who I always kind of liked at the Dragons. I thought he had a little bit of spark about him, but he just really seems to struggle to kind of get that attack going, and that to me was the big issue in this game for West. I thought Saints were really, really steady through the 80 minutes and just had guys who could create some attack when it didn't look like there was much on. Like, chief among them is someone like Lomax who can a bomb can go up and it can look like he's no chance, but he can fly through and get it and either score or set it up for someone else. You know,
He's so good.
He's really good. He's really
why
good.
Does or, why does he hate this situation? I just don't get it.
I don't know.
We will never get over this.
I don't know.
And what's he going to go to Parramatta and become a center and just be like back to being like an above average center?
Yeah.
Because at the moment, he's genuinely in my team of the year.
He's got to be up there. He's been really, really strong. But someone like Jaden Sewer as well, right? So he's trying the second half. The Saints just strung a few passes together. Sewer got some room and wound up and put a big step on and did really well, you know, like scored a great try. And right now, West just don't have that sort of thing. So when their structure and their tenacity doesn't quite carry them, it can be a struggle then to create points, you know. And I think they probably, like, Galvin will be back next week, so Sullivan will drop out of the halves, so that'll be a plus for him. But they, I think they need a little bit more sort of fluidity with the way they play. You know, like just the way that the speed of their attack was just not there. It was just quite plodding, quite pedestrian. You know, it was probably actually quite disappointing from Wessex. I'd come to expect a little bit more.
Yeah, it's a shame. Sold out crowd. I will say though, as much as I love Campbelltown and love going there, and we had a great day, it does get like the atmosphere there can be really, really flat.
It was super
when they're
flat.
Not winning. Leichhardt's like the pig pen at the tennis, right? Where like it's very rowdy. Campbelltown's a much more family friendly venue. Like it's a lot of families, it's a lot of alters, there's a lot of little kids running around playing games on the hill and all the stuff. And as a result of that, if the Tigers aren't on top, you could hear a pin drop. And we got that basically within a minute yesterday, as soon as Lomax scored, basically.
It was quiet as a tomb. Couldn't believe the silence, you know. And they trot like when Utoi Komanu scored, that kind of, you know, got him going a little bit, but it wasn't like, it wasn't rowdy, it wasn't loud. And I think I think we said in the preview that like West probably needed the energy to feed off, you know, and they just didn't get it. But again, they didn't help themselves. Like I only sort of realized this towards the end. I was watching the game with a mate of mine who's a Saints fan and a really sharp footy mind too. And he said, mate, Tom Eisenhuth has been defending at center this entire second half. And the first time the Tigers went at him was for the Kepa'awa try, you know? And it's like, well, that's the thing. You have this great glaring weakness that you can go after and you can attack. And they just didn't do it. They just didn't do it. You know, they were just sort of putzing around the middle and trying to get stuff going. And yeah, just not a very smart performance.
No, not at all. They got Lockie Galvin back next week and life will be good again. All right.
Long game, baby.
Yeah, they have missed him. Sullivan's been really poor.
Yeah, he has. But like, let's talk a little bit more about Saints. So, how are you feeling about this Lomax to Parra move? What do you think?
I just don't like it because he's just been so damn good. It's crazy to me that a guy, he's already got the contract, right? So the money is not the issue. He's going to get paid like a center, even if he's playing on the wing. And I would argue that honestly, wingers are probably more important than centers in the modern game. But anyway, that's another story. And he's playing fantastically well. Like, it seems like every week he's doing highlight level shit. He's playing on a team that's suddenly rejuvenated. It seems like they're building towards something a little bit. And again, he's making highlight reel plays every single week. He gets to kick goals. He gets to do cool shit. He gets to have he gets to be the focal point of their like sort of red zone attack. And their every deep kick goes to him. Every crossfield bomb goes to him. Everything targets him. Everything they're trying to do to get points on the board goes through him now. Not Michele Ravalau, who is himself a really good player. And when you're getting that vote of confidence from your team to an extent where they're basically like, look, yeah, you know that guy that was your winger for like 5 years and you knew how damn good he is. We think you're better than him and we're going to send everything at you. And that's still not enough. I just don't get it. I just don't understand.
There has to be more to it than
it has to be, man.
Because as against this move to the wing as he was, it has just worked out so well. And like, I did think there was a chance that he got on the wing, kicked stones, and was dreadful there, but he hasn't. He's really embraced it on the field himself from that very first game. And yeah, so I'm not sure. I don't know what's going on. He's playing good footy though, so I guess that's what counts. I quite like him for Parra because I think they do need some stuff in their backline.
It's a great signing, but
yeah, are you really going to be getting the most out of him in the centers? Because at fullback, at wing, or even at fullback, which he's also expressed interest in playing, like he's just going to be touching the ball more. He's going to be running the ball more. He's going to be more involved. I think it's easier to you're talking about how much of the play is running through him or directed at him. I think that's much easier to do on the wing than in the centers. But you know, sometimes you can tell him, but you can't tell him much. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, good win for the Dragons there, and they're playing the Warriors at home next week. I think they'll fancy their chances.
Well, Warriors bad record in Wollongong.
Yes.
And
don't play them well, like they play the Storm.
Yeah. And Saints pretty good down there. So be interesting to see how that goes.
Well, I mean, the last time the Dragons played a good team down there was Manly a couple of weeks, and we all kind of thought, oh, the Manly will take care of business. But we forgot that, you know, some teams just hate going there. And
how could you hate Wollongong? Maybe it was a protest against Chico's closing.
Maybe it was.
And then, mate, I'll tell you, this was a big game for Wes. They really had to get this one because they've got Penrith this week. And they've got the Broncos the week after that. And then they lose both of those. And then all of a sudden they're looking at what, a 2-6 start to the 2-5. Like, all of a sudden that start becomes that nice start they had just becomes a memory, you know. So they really, really needed this, and not great. It's gut check time for West, man.
It's a shame. All right, last game of the round. They scored fewer tries. They won the football game.
Bro, and I'm always going through it. Like, let's not kid ourselves with Canberra. I was going through it with this one, dude. Bloody hell.
The funniest outcome I said was, can't they score again and miss the kick? And then the Raiders win with fewer tries. Because I wanted you to be happy, but I also thought that would be... It's always funny if a team scores more tries and doesn't win the game. And we got it. We just got it a few minutes later.
Remember on the Friday show when I said I wanted Canberra to smash them up the middle of the field, keep turning it over in difficult places with Fogarty's kicking game, and just keep bringing pressure.
Well, they forced 43 repeat sets, so...
Be careful what you wish for. Because that is exactly what they did, but it's almost the only thing that they did. You know, like some of the run meters...
The stats for this game are so funny.
Absolutely insane. So everybody, so the back five for the Raiders and Ethan Strange all had over 100 meters. Savage had nearly 200. Tomoko had nearly 200. Chevy Stewart had nearly 200. Joseph Tarponet ran for 272 meters.
It's quite good.
Smithies ran for 152. Like, I'm not sure of the record in terms of meters gain disparity, but I think this would have to be
You, the thing is, you had 900 post contact meters and made two line breaks.
Two line breaks. One's the Hudson Young try, and the second one is the Ethan Strange break right at the end. Like, and this is after a week after the game against Para, where it felt like they made 48 line breaks and they could do it just about whenever they wanted.
I did love, by the way, that when the Titans had their last chance in Golden Point and you got the ball back with 40 seconds left, I said, "Well, it's either a win or a draw now, Nick," and you're like, "No. Don't say that." I'm like, they're not going to have the ball again. Everything's fine. You're at least going to get a draw, but you got more than a draw.
Wow. Yeah. Like
54 sets.
54 sets of six.
Yes. Oh, the Titans had to make like 150 more tackles or
that's
something.
I think 54, that's the most I've ever seen.
54 is so many.
Bro, 600 more meters gained, 200 more post-contact meters.
They genuinely made 151 more tackles than you did.
54 tackles in the Titans 20.
Oh my God.
And the only try they could score in the second half was a weird.
You had literally, the Titans made 25 sets of six worth of tackles more than the Raiders did.
Oh my God. Oh, well, hang on. We can't just sit here rendering our garments for the whole time. Let's actually talk about it. Okay. If Canberra had scored with that mousetrap in the first half,
they would have won 100-0. Yeah,
they would have won 200-0.
Yeah, absolutely.
I asked Fogarty about that after the game.
That was funny.
And they said, "Is that a set play?" And he goes, "No, that's just Hudson's weird shit that he makes us practice at training."
Well, it nearly worked.
They've all got moves and code names and stuff. I loved it. What a glorious weirdo.
There was some hooting and hollering at our table when the mousetrap was executed.
Oh, mate, I tell you. Would have shouted the bar at Sherwood's if it got up.
Absolutely.
Chevy Stewart at fullback, I thought he was really, really willing, carried the ball back really strongly. With a guy like that, who's not the biggest, you're always looking to see if he's going to throw himself around. And he did. Probably didn't fit into the attacking structures that well, but that'll come with time. And he was the one that made the play, racing up off the line to charge down the foreign field goal in extra time. So, and that from the ensuing set, they ended up, Fogarty ended up kicking the field goal. So a great, great play from him on Dubu. The play from Strange to get him in field goal range, just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Like, there's nothing on, and he just goes off his right foot twice, goes right around Harley Smith Shields, and gives his team the chance to win a game that they probably shouldn't have had. You know, could not be more in on Ethan Strange. Like, he's the prince. He's the one. He absolutely played very well. Stoked with him. Tarponet just fabulous in the middle of the field. Again, bad Dally M vote of the week is sometimes you have to see the votes they're not giving. And Joe Tarponet did not get a vote.
That's
which
crazy.
Which is just ridiculous to me. I know it's not great opposition, and I'm not just saying this because Canberra really struggled to put him away, but I thought the Titans actually played much, much better than
they defended really well.
Than they have in a while. Defended really well. dropping Tana Boyd, tough for me personally, but good for the Titans because it just got Brimson near the ball more.
He played great, especially as the game went on. He got more comfortable.
Yeah, he just looked a lot more dangerous. And we didn't even mention that the poor old bloody Titans lost Jaden Campbell as well. So I think they had like Cleese Haas at fullback or something like that. I don't know.
Sure.
There's another, but yeah, just more adversity for him. But they really, really dug in. I thought they played with a much greater toughness than they've probably shown in the first month of the season or whatever. I know they gave away a heap of penalties and a heap of six against, but it was pretty clear that their strategy was going to be to slow down the ruck as much as possible. And I think the set restarts kind of got to the point where they were like, well, you know what? They're probably like, we're already down. We're already like 10 in arrears. So we may as well just turn it right up, you know, which was a good strategy. I thought part of the reason that Canberra's attack in the 20 was so poor is they just could not get a quick play the ball because the Titans were controlling the ruck really, really well.
Not so fun when the shoe's on the other foot, is it, Nicholas?
I'm not complaining. It's just a thing that they did.
It was funny seeing the Titans outraider the Raiders for the most part. It was very funny.
Oh yeah. But
was it Chevy Stewart that rushed out of the line for the charge down on the Kieran Foran field goal?
I just said that
it was. Yeah, no, I know, but I'm just then they dropped the ball like instantly afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. So they charged it down and then they knocked on the rebound.
And it's like at that point, you're just thinking, you're out of jail. Well, I was, but you weren't. You were probably thinking the worst.
I kind of wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
At this point, it was just like my head was nothingness. And this game helped me realize something that I should never ever forget. And because going into this game, I was like, I think Canberra's going to handle it. I think that the insanity of the past is now something we are leaving behind. Mm. I forgot that the Raiders are like a affliction that has been given to me that I must bear, and I am happy to bear it, but I lost sight of who and what they are. You know, they are the one of the strangest teams ever to existed, and if I ever lose sight of that, God will remind me of it, and that's what this was. This was a reminder from the Lord of what the Raiders are, and I should never ever lose sight of that again. This game was a lesson. And one I will heed.
Yes, I remember being quite confused that you were confident going into them because you're never confident, especially like it's almost like an inverse thing. You're playing Brisbane in Brisbane. Yeah, we've got a chance.
Yep.
Melbourne in Melbourne. Oh, tick that one off. That's a win. Titans at home. Oh, geez.
Danger game. I lost sight of it. I lost sight of who I am, even.
It's all right.
Know? So, but God, they won. That's good. I love
that. They sure did, buddy. They sure did.
Well, like the thing, like I'm not expecting Canberra to win the comp or anything like that this year, but I am expecting them to make the finals, especially after the start they've had. And getting wins like this, a narrow loss, a narrow win that probably should have been a loss. That's how you get there, man. You bank these wins when you can get them, and they become very, very valuable down the line. Let's give the Titans a little bit more love.
Yeah, for sure.
Brian Kelly should be. I've always liked him as a player. I always thought he was really, really classy. He's had a pretty bad season. I thought he was fantastic in this game. He did as good a job on Tomoko as any center's done this year. And when they were looking dangerous in the last few minutes, it was Kelly that was making it happen. He put the kick in for the Cam Pereira try. He made the bust that gave them the space for the Cam Pereira try to level it up, and then his first ever goal in the NRL is a sideline conversion to send
absolute
it extra time.
Beauty as well. And when you consider how badly he missed the first one, it was like, oh, but he adjusted.
He's the kind of guy where I would love to see him on a really good team.
Yeah.
I think there's just the sort of player that he is. There's kind of limits to what he can do on a team like this. But if he had some all right playmakers around him, we'd be talking about him as one of the better centers in the league, you know?
I think they might have stumbled onto some stuff here. I think Brimson needs to stay in the halves.
Well, he can't be out in the centers. No. He can't be out in the centers. Like, if Campbell's going to be out for a few weeks, so Brimson will probably go back to fullback. That's where I've always liked him the most. Yeah. But, yeah, he just needs to be on the ball more, and his speed and footwork is so dangerous around the middle that you just can't have it just out in the centers. You know, you can't do it. So I don't know if I like Fifita on the bench. He's your best player. Just start him. He can play 80. Like, what are we doing here?
But, what are we doing?
I don't know. It was good to see some signs of life from the Titans for the second week in a row after that.
I think so.
Second half against the Cowboys. So they've got like they've got something.
This is what I'm saying, man. Like people, when are they going to win a game? It's like they'll win a game. Like they're not. Come on.
They nearly won this game. Like,
well, I was going to say like they
should have won this game.
They were paying homage to the previous worst team of all time, the 2016 Knights, by getting a golden point draw against Canberra and then going on to win their only game against the season against the West Tigers in a few weeks.
That was very funny when you said that last
time. It was the only thing that managed to make you laugh a little bit during the last 20 minutes of that game.
I was in the zone, dude.
Oh, no, we started sledging you about cheering six agains. That got you a little bit. You started giggling. It was good. You fist pumped a six again at one point, and we started giving it to you.
What have
you
I
made
become?
Six agains. What have you
I
become?
I do. But if they're offering it,
you got
out,
so many of them too. You got like at least 40.
Should have got more.
Yeah, that was. Oh my god, we haven't talked about the press conference yet.
Oh yeah, well you take the lead on this one, man.
They asked. Do you know who the journalist was?
I am not sure.
Neither am I. But they asked Ricky about Dez complaining about the number of set restarts that the Raiders got, and he said, what did he say? Fuck me. And then fuck me, we should have had even more. He's on a completely different planet. Incredible.
Get him, Rick.
I will say, if the penalties and set restarts were reversed in this game, Ricky Stewart would have got a large fine. So it's very funny to see him on the other side of it.
Yeah, he might have got a taste of his own medicine a little bit. But the reason that you don't have your own medicine is because it is bitter.
Mm.
So pretty funny stuff. Raiders got Brisbane next week. It's a big game
win.
For them.
Easy win.
It's the first really, really good side that they've played probably since the Warriors. Like I know that the Sharks are a good side, but they were so undermanned and so sort of.
That's true.
They had so many people out. It wasn't like the Sharks as we have known them.
And you also didn't win.
Well, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Are you going to win this one?
I don't know.
You won the corresponding fixture last year.
Yeah, I know. But you got to remember they'd lost by 50 the week before last year. So that made
week got a dog game. Yeah.
That made me pretty confident, you know?
You lost by 50 in that game against Penrith. Would losing this Titans game have been worse?
Yes.
Okay. Good answer. Yes. I agree.
Yeah. Because big losses happen, right?
Everyone loses bad
sometimes. When it's a game that you should have won many, many, many times over and then you lose it. Awful.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. Thursday night upcoming. Roosters Storm at Allianz Stadium. Both teams are $1.92. So right down the middle. What are you thinking?
Probably leaning Melbourne because the Roosters are so up and down. You know, yep. Like the Roosters, we've seen it in periods this year where they can be so effective when they go up the middle of the field and Radley and Smith are really running things and you know they're attacking through that center third, and that's probably a good way to get at this Storm slot. Like if I was coaching against him and you had the cattle for it, like that's 100% probably how you approach it. But just playing that way it just not seemed natural for the Roosters. They always seem to prefer to try and do other things before they do that, and their games kind of come down to how long does it take them to really snap into that method of playing. And that's just such a variable that I think you have to go with Melbourne, even though they're playing some pretty insane footy themselves and their games are nuts and going down to the final minutes and all of that. But I just feel like the things Melbourne do well are a little bit easier for them to replicate than the Roosters, than it is for the Roosters' own strengths, you know?
That's fair. I mean, I'll probably have more clarity when I see the team sheets, but I'm just leaning Roosters in a tight one just because I think that the Storm, whilst they are 4-1, have had some really unimpressive victories, and the last time they came up to New South Wales was against the Knights a couple of weeks ago, and they looked really bad. And Roosters will be keen for a much better performance. I know they won last week, but they'll be keen for a much more complete performance, I think. And yeah, just with the Storm on the road, I think that's enough. If this was in Melbourne, I'd tip Melbourne, but it's in Sydney, so I'll take the Sydney Roosters. But it'll be a close game, and we'll see what happens. But just hope everyone has fun, because I will, because my team's not playing this weekend. So I don't have to worry. 2 points in the bag, baby. Let's go. Buy points. Love them. Fantastic.
We did it.
We love buy points and six agains on this podcast. That's what we love. We're very consistent. All right. Before we get out of here, quick thank you to the people in the top two tiers on our Patreon subscription service. If you'd like to support us, go to patreon.com/NRLrookies. You get access to our Discord server, an extra show every single week. You get two this week, though. Stay tuned.
Exciting stuff.
Merchandise discounts and plenty more. So thank you too. 2,162 days since Arctic Monkeys, Tranquility Base, and Casino, and it still hasn't clicked. A perverted female listener. Sup, Chris Abnell, Dave Stew, Wayno worships Wilton when he whacks weak woeful wingers, Adam Small, Pedalon says, give me the fucking ball. Broncos legend, Adam Reynolds, Bruce the Pied in Pombatsy, Chivek Snuffle, I guess, Dan Cullinane, Danny Levi, Trust Growing Machine, David, Detachable Penicini, an anonymous backer, Down and Dirty Bungard Butts. Me, Down and Dirty, and Butts all took the storm. So the Holy Trinity.
I'll tell you, those Butts were looking high and clean for a second.
They were looking high and clean for a minute. Ed Burton, I'll get back to you shortly. I'm me, Jason, Joe, Joel Wrigley, John, Josh Brandon, kicks out Sydney out of the comp, kicks out of the comp, kicks out of the comp, Lachlan Hancock, Mads, Taylor's version, Matthew Duggan, Matt's co-host is named Campton. I've been calling him Crandall. Mr. Beefy, Morgan Watkins, my name is Nick Campton, and rugby union is my favorite type of rugby. My ding ding dong is hard and I'm sad, never trendy. Nick Kotrick lives on my street, subliminally coaching him to run it straight. NRL acting school, now offering disruptor training. Free with our patented dummy half, hands up to the ref courses. Fasami Army, Paul Mac 78, push it up. Manly, Reese Brown, Roxanne Clark, see you in Vegas. Sitting around and changing Rohan Rodrigo's name is the finest thing a bored Patreon member can do. It's literally my favorite thing to do. The Black Vegetable, the Brisbane Sniper, Thor, Tonya Harding versus Nancy Kerrigan. War. War never changes. Was and Westlife Podcast, West Tigers are back, baby. Thank you so much for your support to everyone in the Lower Tiers and everyone who listens. Thank you as well. Has Michael updated the Tranquility Base thing since last week? Did it say 2,155 days last week?
I don't know if that's changed, but you know what? Know something else that definitely hasn't changed.
What's that?
The quality of Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino.
Very true.
A war crime of an album.
Yeah, tough scene if one of my favorite bands ever released something that poor. But thankfully, Paramore, Jimmy Eat World, nothing but bangers. Nothing but great albums from top to bottom.
Well, The Middle is a great song.
It sure is. Do you know the name of the album it's on?
Well, no, they're a one hit wonder. Why would I know the album?
I walked into that. They're a really good band, Nick. Check them out. All right. Let's get the hell out of here. We'll be back on Wednesday for question time and greatest games. And if you are not a patron, we'll see you on Friday for the preview show. Say goodbye, Campo.
Goodbye, Bertrand.
And it's goodbye from me.